Turn with me, if you would please, to the second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have it on my heart to speak as well about another child that was raised. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 5, break into this paragraph. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that sincere, real, genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now turn over to the primary text that I would like to consider in chapter 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's the primary text I want to look at. Let me just read it again. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, God speaks about Moses, and he speaks about Moses, the man of God. Six times in your Bible, Moses, the man of God. Here we have Timothy. One time in the New Testament, thou man of God. So what I want to look at is the making of a man of God. We have heard that the beginning of that began in a home in Egypt with Moses. But I want to think with you now about a home in Lystra. That's likely, don't know 100% for sure, but it might likely be that that's where this man, Timothy, where he was raised. And you will recall that Lystra was not really the most ideal place to be raising a family. When the apostles went there, when Paul and Barnabas went there, you'll recall what happened. They came out and they brought out oxen and garlands, and they called the one Mercury, and because Paul did the speaking and Barnabas was Jupiter, and they were going to sacrifice to them. You call that a pagan worship place. What a place to bring up your children. But right there began the beginning of the making of a man of God. You see, we don't know too much about Timothy's family, but the Bible does this in Acts chapter 16. It speaks there that his father was a Greek, was a Gentile man. It could very well be that his father was not saved. And so when the emphasis is given in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the emphasis given on his grandmother, the sincere, the genuine, the true article of faith that was in her. There were no masks. And it was also not only in Lois, the grandmother, but also in Eunice's mother. And so now we come to this point, and it says here, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So here you have, let me just put the focus on what the Scripture does give us. And that is a grandmother and a mother that are in the beginning process. Yes, it takes God to make a man for God. But the tools that are being used by God is a mother and a grandmother. I just heard a grandfather just yesterday here, and he was talking about his grandchildren, and he said, if they're running around and I catch them, I'm going to cuff them. You are? You're not the parent. But I understood. Gave me a good idea. Looking forward to it. No. The extension of the family. The same principles that the parents would want the grandfathers carrying out. And so here you have a grandmother now, and she is working, and a mother, and the making of a man of God. I first of all, and I'll ask you to open your Bibles again to this passage, because I want to go over the verse to make it very clear what God has been speaking to me about. And I hope this will be helpful to you as mothers and to all of us as parents and to all who work with children, Sunday school workers, children's workers, to look at the specific target. I have a boy, my youngest boy took an interest for some reason. He didn't get this interest from his father in archery. And so we got him a bow and arrows, and I wanted him to learn properly how to use it, and I didn't have a clue. So we got him some classes, and we took him to this place, and they lined him up, and they have in the back of the store, they have lanes, and they targets at the end, and they lined all these children up, and they were teaching him. And every day, every Saturday, they were giving him a class for a little while, 8 weeks. And this particular Saturday, I stood back and watched. When they were going to teach him, he said, "All right, now, I want you all to get in position." And boys and girls all got in position. He said, "Now, draw and hold." And so they pulled back their arrow and they're holding. And they're all looking down lane at the target. And all of a sudden he says, "Now, what I want you to do, just hold it. But I want you all to look up at the ceiling." And so the boys all look up like this at the ceiling and the girls. And he said, "Fire." There were arrows going off the ceiling. Lights were going out. He had them go pick up their arrows. And he said, "Now, draw and hold." They pull back and hold. He says, "Now look at your shoes." And they all look down at their shoes. "Fire." And away the arrows went. They were ricocheting off the walls. He got them all back together. And he said, "Now, boys and girls, wherever you look, that's likely where the arrow will hit." He was teaching about the importance of looking precisely and concentrating on the target. When it comes to raising children, as we've been hearing, and when it comes to dealing with children and the gospel and the word, what is the exact precise target we should have our eyes on? Now, I'm going to reread this verse. You will forgive me for misreading the verse, but I would like you to try and see what the Scripture says by noticing what it does not say. Verse 15 again. I will read it to you. Notice what it doesn't say. "That from a child thou hast known salvation in Christ Jesus, which is able to make thee wise as to the Holy Scriptures, which are by faith." Would that be a true statement? That if you get salvation, you'll get to know the Scriptures, and it's by faith. You say that would be a true statement, but that's not what it says. If that had been written, then the goal of this mother and this grandmother would be, "From a child thou hast known salvation." You say, should we not be praying for the salvation of our children from the day they're born? No. From before they're born, we should be praying for their salvation. Before their birth. Of course we should pray for their salvation. We should long for it. But the specific target here is not salvation. You see, if it's salvation, some have taken that then to the extreme. My success is going to determine as a parent, as a children worker, a worker with children, my success will be evaluated on whether they're saved. And so I have to worry, and I have to work, and I have to, I don't mean to pressure, but and some have gone to the extreme, we'll take them out to a camp and we'll save them, or we'll give them a card, or we'll ask them to raise their hand for Jesus, or we'll accept Jesus into their heart, and we will focus. Salvation is the key. And we work like the... All sincerely. Because wherever you put your eyes, wherever the target is, don't be surprised if that's where it ends up. You say, wouldn't you want your children saved? I hope I want my children saved as much as you do. But the Scripture here is giving us a specific target. Let me reread it again. Follow with me if you would, please. The Scripture does not say, "From a child thou hast known to have faith in Christ Jesus, which will make thee wise to salvation by the Holy Scriptures." You see, if that's what the Scripture had said here, this grandmother and this mother would have been working so that this child would know what it is to have faith and know what it is to believe. Recently at some seed sower events, I and others took notice and became quite concerned. At a recent one, in the evenings, as young people shared their testimonies, it was absolutely startling. A, the number of young people who had had false professions. It was absolutely alarming, the number of young people who had trouble with believing. Why? Is that normal? Is that not cause for concern? Is it possible, and I raise this for your consideration, that in dealing with our own children, or in teaching children in children's work, or in our preaching of the gospel, of course, nobody will be saved without believing. But if we are making the target believing, 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 where the arrow is. One seed sower, it was so bad. Finally, at the last night, a girl got up and said, I didn't really have a false profession. She was almost apologizing. I went on full alert. I'm a little thick skull. I just raised the question then, what is the goal? What is the specific target when working with children? Of course we're going to tell them about salvation. Of course they must believe if they're going to be saved. You can't be saved apart from faith. But if there is an undue focus and pressure to be saved, don't be surprised if children want to just please us and they get saved. And if the pressure is believing, 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 believing. You know, when you think about it, if Mr. Wilson here, he might be a great swimmer, I don't know. If he was out in I see you have some big lakes around here. If he was out in one of those big lakes and he didn't know how to swim and he was headed down to the bottom and his arms were flailing, and I, because I'm telling the story here at the microphone, being the hero, I see him out there. If he really understood he was going down, and he could clearly see the value and the ability of this life preserver to save his life, do you think I would need to tell him, now this is how you have to take it, and you have to trust it, and I would have to explain and use every synonym? Before I could get words out of my mouth, I think he would just do the automatic thing. Yes, it is an act of the will in Scripture. But the target here, what is it? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I wouldn't limit the Spirit of God, but what is it that the Spirit of God uses to bring about conviction, conviction of sin? What to bring about life in a soul? We are born by the Spirit, yes. Born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So with a small Sunday school class, what's the goal? Get the Scripture into them. Is it to have fun? Well, I hope we're not boring. If we are, I'm sure the children will be the first to tell us. The goal is to get the Word of God into them. Memorize the Word of God. Learn the Bible stories. Get the Word of God in them. And the Spirit, that's what the Spirit will use to operate. And so this wise grandmother and this wise mother had the specific target. This boy, Timothy, we are going to pour into him everything we can of the values, of the wording, of the stories, of the truth, of the Holy Scriptures. That is the precise goal. Now you say, would you tell them about the Lord Jesus? How could you read the scriptures and not tell them about the Lord Jesus? Could you not? Are we not to preach Christ and Him crucified? Could you really tell children, teach the Word of God and not cover the Gospels? Could you not tell? Of course you would. Would you not tell them, if you're teaching all the Word of God, would you not tell them that they need to be saved? How to be saved? That there's 150 verses or something like that that talk about faith? That faith is necessary for salvation? Of course you would. But the specific burden and goal of this older woman and her daughter were, the target is get the Scripture into the child. My evaluation will not be whether my children are saved. Please do not evaluate parents as being successes or failures because their children are saved. The ultimate father said in Isaiah 1 that he brought up children and they rebelled against him. Please do not evaluate the father by the decision of the children. Sometimes there are parents, and they have been excellent parents, far better than any of us, and their children don't turn out the way they had hoped. And sometimes there are parents, and we stumble along, and we make all kinds of mistakes, and really we make quite a mess of the whole thing. And God in His grace saves our children. Our responsibility in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, is to get the Scripture into the child. From a child thou hast the target, known the Holy Scriptures. But I want you to notice their tactics. Their tactics. You say, how did they do it? How did they do it? The answer is very simple. I don't know. Because the Bible doesn't tell me. You say, well, why wouldn't the Bible give us their plan? If the Bible, if they were so successful to produce a man of God, or if that couple down there and Amram and Jochebed were so successful in Egypt, why doesn't God just give us the 10-stage plan, a curriculum to bring up? If that were the case, maybe we wouldn't need to pray. So you have to depend on God. We're cast upon God for this. But I want you to see, first of all, what that means is it's going to allow. Hopefully, there will be no trap doors that open underneath me here for use of this word. When it comes to teaching children the Word of God, it allows for creativity. Not every child learns the same way. There are some children that learn by memorization and rote. There are others that are more visual. There are others more auditory. You see, there's all kinds of ways. How did they get? Depends on the stage of a child. Just set little Timothy down and sit him down and say, now, we're going to be working on Ezekiel chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, but you don't get supper until you have it memorized. You know, tomorrow is your fourth birthday. If you don't have them memorized, you're not getting a birthday present. That would be cruel, unless he's a brain. You see, there would be different ways at different stages. You see, the Bible gives us lots of latitude for creativity, initiative, dependence, guidance on God, but there are clear boundaries. You would never do anything in teaching children that would take us outside the boundaries of the Word of God. And so there would be times of memorization, times of explanation. How do they do it? Well, maybe they sang some songs. I hope we're all careful about the songs we pick, because children learn a tremendous amount of truth. But you know, let me just give you an example. And I hope you won't think this is just a personal thing. What about taking a picture, you know, just taking a picture. I'm going to teach you the story of the cross, Timothy. I want to show you a picture that was professionally painted of a hippie Jesus on a cross. Does the Bible not speak that it is dishonorable for a man to have long hair? And you're presenting the Lord Jesus to a child? You have gone outside the boundaries, some of the teaching of the Word of God. And I guess I'm more sensitive to this, having worked for the last 17 years with people who have come out of Catholicism or idolatry, and they have struggled to leave their idols behind, and they have come to see that there should be no graven images. Now, we're going to have a little play here, and we're going to have somebody come up dressed up as Jesus. What? An image? A representation? Limiting God to that? You see, you would use the boundaries of the Word of God. I can't go over them all. You should not stay. But within the corral, if I can put it that way, there is tremendous latitude and adaptability and creativity to get the Scriptures into a child. But I want you to notice the totality. What Scriptures can be used to teach a child? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I first had the privilege of meeting and hearing our brother, Mr. Wilson, in Malaysia, actually. And I remember the first meeting. He remembers it as well, because it seemed like it was about 150 degrees, and then the air conditioning went out, and it was really, really difficult. And but that night after the first meeting, I was walking out, and I saw on the wall of the Paramount Gospel Hall, I saw the plan for the summer Sunday school teaching in the Paramount Sunday School. You know what the teachers were teaching? I have a picture of it if you want to see it. They were covering the kings of Judah and Israel for part of the summer. And then following that, they were going to move to the lives of the minor prophets. I saw Nahum under there. Nahum? Nahum in the Bible? Where's Nahum? How many of you have taught Nahum to your children in a Sunday school? You see, all the word. You see, that would be difficult. Child is only coming for a little while. Of course, you want to get the gospel to them. But to look at the broader picture, to try and teach all the Word of God. I actually personally like what they do in Mexico. I was impressed when I went there the first time, where they have a three-year plan, and all the teachers at all grades and all levels are working through the Bible in 3 years. A child that begins at age three, by the time they leave the Sunday school, age five rather, by the time they leave the Sunday school, roughly about age 15, they have been through the Bible five times. Covering all the stories of the Bible, all Scripture. And Timothy, they drilled into this child all the stories and all the truth of the Word of God that they could. The totality of Scripture, the applicability. You will notice what it says here. It wasn't just a cold learning of facts. Yes, it speaks about how thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's cognition, getting to know the facts of it all. But then he goes on to speak about how thou hast learned. He uses the word learn, from whom thou hast learned. Now that's more of a comprehension. That's a little deeper. And then he says, of whom thou hast been assured of. Now we're getting down to conviction. You see what has happened? This boy that was picking up the little story of Jonah, and he was picking up the details of David and Goliath, and picking up the stories of some of the kings of Judah, and picking up the stories. All of a sudden now he's getting down to understanding. Why did that happen? What does that mean? And then he goes to the next level where he is developing his convictions based on the Word of God. He's been assured of this. This is now deeper. What's the goal? A child who can give you all the details of all the stories? That would be a great start. A child who now has come to grow up and understand the Bible? That would be even better. But the ultimate goal is to have a child who's got a deep conviction. I know what I believe and why based on the Word of God. You see now, the tactics that were used, creativity within bounds, totality of the Word of God, and the applicability. This applies to you, son. This is going to be relevant to you to the point where he comes to be able to apply the Word of God in his own life, in his own circumstances. And have these convictions about the Word of God. Notice, if you will, with me quickly, the teamwork that is involved. Of whom? Some have that as a singular. Some have it as a plural. Of whom thou hast learned. Who owns the whom? Well, you say, well, it had to be the grandmother and the mother. They're included, but I would think there might be others. You read the story in Lystra. There comes the Apostle Paul in. What do they say? Oh, we teach our child at home. We don't need to take him to listen to meetings. We will teach him at home. We are capable. You see, you could go to one extreme where you don't do anything at home and you just take him to the meetings. We're going to wait. We don't feel able to teach our children the Word of God at home. So we're just going to wait until the Apostle Paul comes to town. And when he's there, we're sitting in the front row. Or you could go to the other extreme where you say, well, you know, we teach our children at home. What's Paul going to teach them? What does he know about the Scriptures? You see the teamwork? I was impressed noticing recently in the book of the Acts, there is only one mention of children. And it was interesting enough. And in Samaria, they baptize men and women, and that might be a gender difference, but there might be an indication that there might be a bit of an age there. But really, the only mention of children was when you come to the chapter 21 in Tyre. Paul is coming along, and he stops. He's there for 7 days, and now he's about to move on. And they're about to say goodbye to this godly man, this man of the Word of God. Who's going to say goodbye to him? Down go the men. Yes. Down go the women. Yes. And they take along the children, the only time they're mentioned. What do I learn from that? Get your children involved in absolutely everything you can and put them under the influence of all the godly people you can find. And so we have this teamwork. Home, assembly, godly men, godly women that are influencing this child. Notice the timing. Of this time that they had with the child. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. When you hear that, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, what comes to your mind? When do you think they started teaching him his first Bible verse? When do you think that was? From a child. I won't ask you to raise your hands. How many think five? How many think four? You know, the word is actually the same word that is used to describe when John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth. And when Mary went and the babe leapt in her womb. Now, I am not advocating in utero evangelism. Please, let's not go to that extreme. But I learned this lesson. When? From as early as possible in a child's life. You say, well, they can't speak. But they can hear you singing. What are you saying to your child? What are we? From a child. Begin the work. Put them in the environment. You see, it is, first of all, I learn when it comes to the timing, the commencement is as early as possible. But then it says from a child, not when he was a child, as if it was a time period and that window was shut. From a child. All through that child's experience, there was the constant applying and the working with the Word of God. Now, of course, Timothy had other things that he learned. Of course, there are other things that we must do when we train up a child in the way he's going. There are all kinds of things we must do with a child. But focusing on this, it not only is something that is commenced as a child, but there is that exercise to see the continual, ongoing, that constant learning of the Word of God. Why? Let me speak to you about the continuation of that timing. Not just the consistency of it from a child. Now, my brother-in-law is here, Brian Kimber. And I remember hearing when he was a boy that his mother had to actually feed him. You know, take a spoon and here, Brian, comes the airplane. You know how that works. You would all find it rather strange today if we went up to the dining room and I sat across from him, got a little spoon, mashed up the carrots in it, and I said, here it comes, Brian, open the garage door. That's ridiculous. Why? I think you will all, now that everybody's going to be watching you, Brian, you will all see at dinner time that he is fully capable of mashing his own carrots and opening the garage door and putting it in. You see, what started as a child, eventually he began to adapt to be able to do himself, feed himself. His oldest sister, my wife, has told me of times when they used to put Brian to bed. You know, tuck him in, pray with him. I don't know where he's staying, but I doubt if there's a lady in the home who has to take Brian and go in and sing a little nursery rhyme or a little hymn with him and tuck him in at night and pray with him before he goes to bed. Why? He can put himself to bed. What started when he was young, those habits, now he has adapted those, and the continuation is by himself. Timothy, have you stopped learning the Word of God? Or the habit that was started back as you when you were a child? That was constant through your young years, up through your teen years, until the point where your parents stopped teaching you the Word of God and you kept teaching yourself by the Spirit of God. That is the idea here and the timing of the learning of the Word of God. Finally, the trajectory. Where is this all heading? Well, the first trajectory that we all pray for, we depend on God for, we long for all of our children, from a child who has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Clear biblical salvation. Paul comes to town. Acts chapter 16. What is the first thing it says about Timothy there? He was a disciple. It wasn't one of those, well, we'll take him with us, but I sure hope he doesn't tell how he got saved, because that's pretty confusing. He's just not clear in the gospel, but well, the Lord can do wonders. Absolute clarity, salvation that was real, shown in his life, distinct man, young man now, maybe only 16, 18, 20 years old, but there he was, a disciple, saved with clear salvation. What does it say here? Second thing, it says, the reason you teach children not only is because they be saved, but beyond that, the man of God. You see, now we're looking at the preparation of a character. You ask, I think Mr. Wilson was saved as a child. Am I correct on that? I would like you to do the homework, and I'll do this by faith. If you ask him the verses that he learned from Scripture, when did he learn the majority of verses that he knows? It's probably likely that most of us would say, verses that really aren't even related to the gospel, but we learned them when? And they are still with us now, affecting, molding our character. The long term is not just salvation. It's beyond that, the preparation of the character so that we can become men and women of God. But then last of all, there is the preservation. That's why I read that one verse there. It speaks about where Timothy was, that he is surrounded by evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are men who are going to surround the assemblies in that part where Timothy is. And who is going to be able to stand up and see the preservation of God's assembly? Timothy stands up and he can look those men right in the eye, and not by the sheer force of personality, because what comes to the mind is the Word of God that he can expound. And the assembly will be preserved from these men who are deceived and deceiving. Because there is a man in the assembly, a man of God, who was made by the teaching of the Scripture. You say, well, what seminary did you go to, Timothy? The University of Eunice, Lois, Paul, the assembly. You see, that assembly was a great place for learning. But it was all around the Scriptures. Could I just challenge, just for a moment, mothers here, Sunday school teachers? When you are looking at those children at your class, remember that you could be looking at the future elders of the assembly. You could be looking at future preachers and missionaries. And you are preparing them for God. Not just salvation, but beyond. And the future of some assembly or some assemblies could depend on your teaching that child the Word of God. From a child thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures. Timothy, a man of God. Assemblies richly blessed. Because in the quietness, even maybe of a divided home with a husband and a father who were opposed, we don't know, there were two women with a deep burden. Oh God, may this Timothy learn the word of God. Help us to get it in him. And then God will take care of the rest. The target, the timing, the teamwork, the tactics, the trajectory of it all, the future of the Winnipeg Assembly may not be in this room. Could actually be up in one of those rooms up there. The future of the assemblies out here in these parts. May God give us a renewed energy, a renewed focus to raise as much as we can with our responsibility and leave the rest to God, men and women.